Time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King, Football Morning in America. Peter, brought to you by Needham Bank. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Dale. How's everything with you?
Everything's fine, thank you. It was we have a habit around here. We follow Antonio Brown on social media now because you never know what he's going to say. Yesterday, he took to social media, made a plea for the Patriots to put him back on the roster. They got to pay him anyway, he says. Might as well let me earn it. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the number that you think, the chances that the Patriots bring Antonio Brown back?
Oh, I'd say a 3. I think just my gut feeling is Robert Kraft would probably really not want to do it, and Bill Belichick would probably side more on the side of he would want to do it. Bill Belichick is concerned with winning football games and being a great team. Antonio Brown makes him a great team. It makes him a better team, I should say. But this is going to be an interesting story if the Patriots would even consider it. I kind of doubt they would, Dale. I started hearing about this yesterday or whatever, along with a lot of people in our business, and it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem smart for the Patriots in any way but a football way. And the Patriots have proven over the years that you can't really eliminate that possibility because football in their organization over the years has trumped all. I understand why. I do think, though, in this particular case, they really ought to just say no.
So there's obviously 3 scenarios for Antonio Brown. Either he doesn't play all season, he comes back to the Patriots, or he joins another team. If you had to rank those 3 from most likely to least likely, what do you think it would be?
Well, Rich, the only way he's joining another team is if he gets a clean bill of legal health out there. I think that is extremely unlikely in the next 10 or 12 weeks that all of these problems that he has, both with the league and in this, particularly in the case where he has been accused of rape. It would surprise me a lot if anybody out there would sign him. I know what Drew Rosenhaus is saying. Drew Rosenhaus is an agent. I just would be stunned if anybody signed him with what currently is out there. So I guess if you ask me to pick what I think is going to happen, I think Antonio Brown sits for the rest of the year.
The New York Giants come to Gillette Stadium tonight, and they are a mess right now with the injured players that they have, and they've made the change at quarterback, which was probably the right move. But how tough a situation is this entire organization in as they prepare to take on an undefeated Patriots team tonight?
Well, it's just another argument against Thursday night football. I think people will use this if the Patriots win 34-6 tonight, which probably they should do. But I think everybody will use this as another argument against Thursday night football, which, hey, look, I would not mind if they didn't play Thursday night games. I would just say 2 things, though. There are players, maybe not many. Jason Kelce of the Eagles said it a couple of weeks ago that we kind of like having that mini bye afterwards where you get 4 days off before your next week of practice. But I think the other issue, Dale, is going to be, do you want to take X percent, whatever the number is? It's a gigantic number of how much Fox is paying for the Thursday night games, and the players are getting 47% of that in effect. So it's one thing to say we don't want to play on Thursday night. It's another thing to say we'll give up, I don't even know what the number is, 12 to 15% of our income as a group by not playing Thursday. That might be too much. It might be 8 or 10%. But that's going to be the real question. And I think as far as just micro looking at this particular thing, the bad part of this for the Giants, the bad part tonight, honestly, is Evan Engram. Because there's no question in my mind that Daniel Jones would never have a lot of success throwing deep against this team, and he's not going to have time to throw deep against this team. But what he needs is he needs that, you know, 6 to 10 yard intermediate insurance that Evan Engram provided. And that's not going to be there tonight. So I expect it not to be very pretty for the Giants.
Were you surprised when you heard that Ben Watson got released?
I was, until I saw what exactly the reason was, which obviously, if you can save $2 million on your cap in a year when you almost certainly are going to need a reinforcement either at the trading deadline or at some point to improve your offensive weaponry with all due, and I think it's an absolutely totally raw deal. It's just part of the ugliness of football that Ben Watson basically invests this time and then, you know, the job isn't there when he's ready to go. And I understand there's mitigating circumstances because of the 4-game suspension. If he hadn't been suspended, I doubt sincerely this would have happened, and he probably would be playing right now. But it just, you know, for the, I'll tell you what, I've covered football for 35 years. I have not met five better guys than Benjamin Watson. He is a great human being. He does everything for all the right reasons, and I feel for him in this case. I really do.
Earlier today, I was reading a Yahoo piece by Charles Robinson from 2017 in which Jerry Jones was musing about how difficult it is for the NFL to get into the China market and how important it would be from a financial perspective, but that it's a daunting task. With what's happening with the NBA right now, would you expect Roger Goodell and the rest of the NFL would like to keep China at arm's length?
Dale, that is a fantastic question. Last week, I had Chris Halpin, who is the NFL chief growth and strategy officer, on my podcast. We talked for about 40 minutes, and we talked about China. And this was before this whole Daryl Morey thing happened. But when we talk about China, the bigger problem with China, I think, for the NFL, because, look, I hate to say this, but this too shall pass. When there is a mountain of money to be made, people usually figure out an accommodation. And the NFL has been very good at that over the years. I would prefer to think of this more than just in the Hong Kong part of the story. I prefer to think of it in more the pragmatic part of the story, which is I think the NFL would really love to play a game or two in time in China. And I think there are owners, a regular season game or two, that even though it would be highly disruptive, I think there are owners that would be willing to do it. And I think I'd put Jerry Jones at the front of the list. Seattle would be willing. I think Robert Kraft would be willing. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen in the next couple of years, but eventually I believe, you know, there's 10,000 kids in and around Beijing playing flag football right now. So what does that mean? I don't know, but there's some little pocket, you know, in China of people who seem to like football. And in addition, you can watch Red Zone in China. You know, it's the NFL has figured out how to plug their sport into certain places around the world. And we'll see what happens with that investment. It's really worked well in England, in Germany, Ireland, Scotland. It's worked well in places that have really adopted American football. Will it ever happen in China? I don't know. But I believe that Chris Halpin and Roger Goodell, even though I don't think Goodell will be around to see it, I think eventually there will be a game or two played there just to see if it works.
Peter, what's the likelihood in your mind that Stephon Diggs gets traded, and then could the Patriots possibly be a landing spot for him?
Great question, Rich. I theorized the other day that he'd be a really, really interesting trade target because he's extremely manageable money-wise. He's in his prime. I forget, it's something like $37 million over the next 4 years. Over the next three-plus years. And, you know, that's eminently doable for a guy who's going to put up the numbers he is. I think the biggest problem, I was told Sunday night, I did some reporting on the Vikings on Sunday night, after they beat the Giants. And I was told is highly unlikely that he will be traded, and they don't think he wants to be traded. He's a really emotional guy, and I don't know what it was that set him off last week, but I don't think it was a demand to be traded. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't be traded, but I'm saying that we have thought all along, hey, maybe that's the beginning of Jalen Ramsey too,
right?
That he might be. But I was told pretty solidly that as of right now, he doesn't want to be traded, and the Vikings have no intention of trading him.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Peter King joining us, as he does every Thursday.